The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello. Hi, Becky or Rebecca. Thank you so much for joining me on what is an unusual episode of the podcast. I think that the thing that we want to focus on today is the fact that the habits that we are all forming now in this very strange time will decide the kind of person that we'll be in a few months' time when this is all over. And there was something that I've been reading that's helped me a little bit with my mindset, is that we're one day closer to this all being finished. So hopefully that will help people. And we know that our future self will help us for creating positive habits today. And I personally want to make sure that I'm as healthy as I can be whilst I'm at home. And if I can help, I want to help as many people as I can. We've previously recorded an episode entitled Productivity Life Hacks, and we discussed how to get over that 3 o'clock slump, what breakfast is best, and how to unlock that productive energy with the right diet. So that episode has been one of the most successful that we have done. So it was only right to invite you back onto the pod to discuss what we can all be doing at home to maintain a healthy lifestyle. So welcome back onto the podcast.
Thanks for having me back on the podcast. I'm really, really excited about doing this episode with you, because I think just getting some more sort of healthy tips out there is will really help everyone.
Yeah, definitely. And it's I always learn so much from you. I mean, we talk a bit anyway outside of doing the podcast episodes, and the things that I pick up from you, I'm excited to share with everyone that's listening. So first things first is we're all adjusting to this new world of working from home. I've set up my little home desk at my dining table, and I've got a little setup going, and I put my coffee out on my pad, and I've actually started making written notes again, which is something I've not done in a long time. Where do you think is one of the best places to set up a home office?
I guess just somewhere that is comfortable, that you can sit at, preferably at a table and chair, just for your posture, to sort of keep that tension from your shoulders and your neck and everywhere. So, you know, rather than a lot of people sometimes do some work on their bed or on the couch, I think definitely finding a space where you can, can be at a table and chair would be really helpful. And, you know, these are strange times, so people can, you know, adjust the furniture about a bit, create little spaces in their house where they can work from. So I think definitely somewhere that is comfortable and is warm, because I don't know about you, but whenever I'm sitting for quite a long time, I get quite cold. So, somewhere warm and somewhere comfortable, I would definitely recommend.
Yeah, I think I've found that I've been sat in one space for quite a long time as well. So a lot of what we're doing at the moment, obviously, with being a social agency, means that we can operate remotely, but being sat at my space from like 9:30 till 1 doing back-to-back calls can sometimes be quite painful on my neck. So I've been trying to move around a little bit as well, which is probably a good tip. Go from one place to another. And we've been quite fortunate in some ways that the weather's been nice. So how important is vitamin D at the moment for us getting outside and just sitting in the garden for a few minutes?
Yeah, really, really important at the moment, because vitamin D helps support our immune system as well as sort of support our mood, especially when things are really quite difficult at the moment. So I would definitely recommend getting out into the, you know, into the sunshine for at least 20 minutes, preferably before 12 o'clock noon. That helps to reset our circadian rhythm. So that helps us sleep better at night as well, and as well as getting those that all-important vitamin D. And a tip for around mushrooms, if you do have any mushrooms at home, you can leave them outside in the sunlight and they absorb a lot more vitamin D. So, and then we absorb it into our bodies as well. So that's just an aside tip.
Oh, wow. I'm going to do that because I managed to get a decent amount of fresh fruit and veg yesterday from the supermarket. It was quite quiet in my Aldi. So I have been a little bit naughty in not having rules and not having structure, in that alongside all the fresh fruit and veg I've bought, I've also been a little bit bad with buying naughty snacks and Easter egg cakes and things just to make me feel a little bit better. How do we tackle snacking unnecessarily?
Yeah, so this is something I've, since I'm becoming self-employed and sometimes working from home, I've had to sort of develop my own sort of routines around sort of healthy eatings and snacking throughout the day. It's so easy just to go to the cupboards, especially if they're really stocked full of things from doing maybe a weekly shop. I think we need to treat the way we're eating just as we would as when we are working. So by sort of planning and prepping your meals for the week, and that includes your snacks, I think is really helpful. So, you know, packing your lunch for the day ahead is really important, putting that in the fridge and then leaving out your snacks, whether that's sort of an apple and some nuts or some like carrot sticks and hummus, having that all ready so that, you know, whenever you feel a little bit hungry, maybe it's like 10:30, 11, you've got the snack already prepared and sort of waiting for you. And that can help to sort of reduce just feeling a bit hungry and going, oh, there's some cakes in the cupboard, so I'll have those. Maybe baking some really nice sort of healthy snacks as well, you know, like protein balls or some flapjacks, because we've got a little bit more time on our hands, so we can do a bit of baking as well.
It would be great if we could share, if you've got recipes for protein balls and things like that, if we could share those to the listeners later. We can put that on our channels. We'll talk a little bit more about the hub that you've set up as well that people can go to a bit later on in the podcast. But you've touched there about structure and the fact that you now are self-employed, so you are a little bit more used to this than most of us who have that sort of structure of getting to the office and then having food at certain times. So how important have you found structure since you've been working from home?
Really important, yeah. I think developing routines during your working day is really important. So I get up in the morning, I do a little bit of exercise, I do a little bit of meditation before starting work. So that always gets me off to a really good start. And then, yeah, just planning out what I'm having for breakfast, having the snacks available, when I'm breaking for lunch, you know, having a healthy lunch already prepared, and then taking some time out to go outside and get some fresh air and a bit of exercise has really helped me with my sort of productivity throughout the day. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend, you know, developing a routine that really works for you and works around you and maybe your partner or your family, especially if you're working from home at the moment.
And hydration, because I know how important drinking water is and trying to get at least 2 litres of water a day. But does that make any difference to productivity levels, making sure that you're hydrated?
Yeah, definitely. So water and hydration is essential for us. So it supports like so many functions in the body. You know, it helps with regulating body temperature, energy metabolism, and nutrient transport, waste disposal. And also, you know, we need hydration for our brain to function optimally as well. So, you know, signs of dehydration are often sort of fatigue, can be headaches, loss of concentration, you know, poor memory. So it takes a while for our brains to register that we're actually thirsty. So we can actually become quite dehydrated before we even realize that we're thirsty. So topping up regularly with water or, you know, herbal teas and things like that can really help with your productivity throughout the day.
Great. I'm going to make sure, because I can be a bit guilty of forgetting to drink enough. So while home as well, and I just get stuck into things. So
yeah, even a lot of my clients experience the same problem. So having a huge big glass of water whenever you wake up just really helps to hydrate your body, from because you can become quite dehydrated overnight. Also, maybe even setting an alarm to go off every hour or so, you know, and fill up a big glass of water again and just keep on drinking throughout the day. And you can add things to that like lemon and lime or other thing, you know, and you can also keep hydrated through fruits and vegetables as well. So things like strawberries and watermelons are like 97% water. Lettuce and cucumber is also 97% water. So we can get hydration through having hydrating foods as well.
Yeah, and as I say, I have been to the supermarket. It is quite busy, and it has been. There's been a lot in the news, which might be putting people off going to go and get that fresh fruit and veg. And I get hit quite a lot by things like protein shakes and meal replacement alternatives like Huel. Is now a good time to start thinking about getting that in? Or would you recommend that we try as much as we can to get those fresh fruits and veg?
Yeah, I think it's really important to get the fresh fruit and veg as well because they have such a wide range of nutrients that will help to support our immune system. But I myself use protein powder for smoothies, for protein balls, for like pancakes and things like that. So I think it's a good resource to have in your store cupboard, definitely. I use that protein. They're a great company. So I recommend having a supply of some protein powders as well. You can also add them to soups as well if they're not flavored with chocolate.
That's a good idea as well. I never thought of that. And it's obviously something you can get off Amazon and delivery services at the moment, so you don't have to go out if you're worried about going out. So that's not a bad thing at all. So when we go, and I know we're going to do a little bit, you're going to help me cook something in a bit, but when we go shopping, what ingredients are great, versatile things that we might not have thought of that can go in a variety of meals? Because I'm a bit of a one for needing to follow, if you know me, you'll know it quite well, that I like structure and organization. So I usually have to follow a recipe or something from a book. Help me get out of that habit, please, and tell me what versatile ingredients I should have in that'll help me just make a variety of different meals.
Yeah, so I think, as you said, a lot of the fresh fruit and vegetables is still available. So getting as many vegetables as possible, I think, is just really important at the moment. And I think often forgotten is using like a wide range of herbs and spices as well, because they have their own sort of properties that can help with boosting immune function as well, sort of like. Some spices are antimicrobial, anti-inflammatory, antiviral. So we can really change a meal by changing the spices and the flavours that are actually in them. You know, for more, you know, Asian flavours, you can use like turmeric and cumin and all those spices. Also lots of garlic and onions and ginger and oregano are all great herbs and spices to transform meals. So vegetables are great. Using beans and pulses, I think, are really good. A lot of the tinned varieties seem to be gone, but you can still get dried beans and pulses, which are quite easy to soak overnight. You can make things like falafel and bean burgers and different curries and tagines, that sort of thing. So just getting to like beans and pulses, you can mix and match them. They're absolutely fine. Most things will go into most meals, you know. So that would be my two sort of things that I think would be good to focus on at the moment. Your vegetables and your beans and pulses for your protein, definitely.
Great. And we just touched on it then about stuff going from the supermarket, and people have obviously panic bought tinned things, and it's sometimes tricky to get the ingredients that you want. Is there anything, I wondered, because we always just divert to the standard food type, so vitamin C you get from oranges and things like that. Are there any sneaky products and food products that you could share that would give us the same level of vitamins that you don't often consider?
Yeah, sort of your leaf, if you can get your leafy greens, they're amazing. So that can be like obviously kale, but your spinach and like rainbow chard and cabbages, and those sorts of things. And broccoli and cauliflower. You know, lots of people use broccoli a lot, but not so much cauliflower. It's like one of my new favourite vegetables. I do lots of things with it, cauliflower rice, like cauliflower wings, making, cauliflower curries and cauliflower steaks. And so, yeah, just look at the vegetables that you've got around you and, you know, just try out something new. You know, there's loads of recipes online. Just pick some different veg or whatever is available and just go online and type it in. There'll be lots of inspirational sort of recipes on there. So, you can make your own, you know, if there's no milk, which hopefully won't happen, but you can even make your own oat milk at home just from porridge oats and water. So, you know, and you can, if there's no eggs, you can make like flax chai seed eggs as well. There are lots of alternatives. We just need to, just get a little bit more creative in the kitchen.
I have struggled, I think, and the senior team at Social Chain have obviously just not stopped since all this happened and we started working from home last week, even in the planning stages before it. It's been quite tricky to find time to stop and cook. And I've been a little bit guilty of just jumping on my computer in the morning and not having breakfast. So for those people who are in a similar position at the minute where the world is very different and we are constantly needing to reforecast, look at numbers, or just everything that goes alongside this really unknown time, what tips can you give to someone who's struggling for time?
Yeah, I think it's really important to plan and prepare your meals, you know, maybe doing some batch cooking or getting, you know, your partner or a friend to help out with that as well. If you're particularly busy, you know, if you're busy like you are, Katie, or you're one of the key workers who's out there, you know, doing an amazing job. Planning maybe just cooking a little bit more than you usually would and use those leftovers for your lunches and your dinners. Maybe making your breakfast the night before. You can make overnight oats or chai seed pudding, or just have some fruit with yogurt and seeds. But make sure that you are having something, especially if you do get a bit hungry in the morning, so that your blood sugar levels don't drop. But I think with a lot of other people, their partners and family being at home as well, it's a good time to sort of delegate some of the cookery tasks to maybe help you out a bit.
I'm locked in on my own, so I'm very self-sufficient at the moment.
Yeah, so whenever you do have a bit of time, I think, definitely looking at some recipes that you can cook, like soups and stews and chilies and some curries, and just have some of those in the fridge. Also, I sometimes have a bit of a deli situation going on in my fridge as well. So like having made up some bean salad and some quinoa and like leftover chicken or falafel and some hummus and some like rocket and things like that. So each day I can just put it all together in a plate and just have it for lunch. So
we have a little party tea. That's what we used to call party tea, when you used to get everything out the fridge and just eat little bits of it.
Yeah, but just having those available, that's really easy and you don't have to cook anything, and you can just throw it together.
Very helpful, thank you. And we then touched on the key workers that are so very vital at the moment, and it's something that building a sense of community right now, how we can support. I think it's important to reach out to people that You know that a key worker is on my cul-de-sac. We've got a WhatsApp group now, which we didn't have before, that we're all talking and sharing. And there are some key workers that live on my road. So trying to support them. But I know that you've done something amazing and you've set up a community called the Wildly Well Tribe. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit more about that?
Yes. So So I think now more than ever, it's really important for everybody to come together and sort of build their communities at the moment. Lots of people are doing amazing things online, you know, from Skype calling with their family and friends, but like huge pub quiz tournaments. So I decided, I've always wanted to do a Facebook group, but actually never really felt confident enough to do it. So, but with everything that's happened over the last couple of weeks, I thought actually now's the time to do it. So yeah, I set up the Wildly Well Tribe, which is a space for people to be supported, to feel happier and healthier through this difficult time, as well as building up an amazing community. So I'm really lucky to be joined by an amazing group of women who will be like tribe guides as well. So we'll be posting regularly top tips on nutrition, mindset, movement, beauty. So we have it all covered. We might even throw in a bit of music once a week or something like that. Who knows? But I've had a great response. We set up yesterday and we've got about 70 members already. So yeah, just want to get as big a community as possible and just help as many people to feel healthy and happier through this, yeah, this really difficult time. So yeah, you just need to go to Facebook and type in the Wildly Well Tribe and we'll get you connected.
I will share it as well. I've already shared it on my Instagram page when you set it up, but I am very privileged to be one of the tribers and being involved in it. And the group of people that you've brought together is just amazing and very inspirational. So we're already trying to figure out how we all get together, aren't we, when this is all over and we can have lunch and think about what's next. So it's like what I said at the beginning, these habits and these things that we do now are going to make such a difference to all of our futures. And I honestly believe that with the Wildly Well Tribe.
Yeah. It's a great group of women. Yeah. We've got yoga teachers, Pilates instructors, ethical beauty experts, counselors, psychotherapists, reflexologists, and yourself, Katie, you know, I'm talking about, maybe imposter syndrome and covering lots of different topics that you've covered maybe in the podcast. So you're going to be a great asset to the tribe as well.
No, thank you. No, I'm absolutely thrilled to be part of it. There was one last thing that I wanted to ask you just about food. When Dodds and I were planning the podcast, the image that came into my head when we were talking about this is using food for a reward. And I was thinking, you know, like in the old fairy tales when there was trails of things to make you so, I think I'm losing my mind. There's only a couple of days in and I think I've already lost it, but it really made me smile. But how can we use food as a healthy reward and a reason to get you up and out of your chair?
So I think using food as a reward can be helpful, but for some people it can contribute to some emotional eating. So that's sort of what sprung to mind whenever you sort of said that. So yeah, we can use reward to, you know, have a really delicious healthy sort of snack and meal that will keep you going and make you feel really great throughout the day. Or we could binge out on chocolate and things like that. But I think it's really important to sort of realize, you know, what, you know, I don't know whether in the previous episode we talked about using identifying whenever we eat, why we eat, you know, identifying whether it's, you know, are we eating for hunger? Are we eating because we're feeling lonely or tired or thirsty? Sometimes identifying our need and you know, different strategies to meet those needs can be really helpful. So sometimes we just want a treat, don't we? For being working really hard all day. So we're going to have, you know, maybe a nice piece of like cake at the end of the day, or, you know, meet up with some people over Skype and have a nice coffee and cake. But I think definitely sort of using food as a reward, I don't personally do it that often. I don't know about you, Katie. Is that something that you...
I think probably I've got into a bit of a bad habit of when I have a cup of tea, I have to have a biscuit. That's probably my worst one, like a little bit of something sweet. And then after a meal as well, just having a little bit of something sweet. But I don't think I emotionally eat. I'm quite good, and I do often crave healthier foods rather than the bad stuff.
Yeah, and that's great. Yeah, so having a little bit of something nice with your tea, you know, your biscuit or like some dark chocolate or something after dinner, that's really good. But a lot of the clients that I work with do tend to go to food whenever they're feeling like upset about something or they're feeling quite stressed. So a lot of the work that I do with people is actually getting them to identify, you know, are they actually hungry? I use the acronyms HULT. So it's, are you hungry? Are you angry? Are you lonely? Are you tired? Are you thirsty? And when people sort of identify why they're eating other than hunger or other than just having a bit of something nice, then they can work out ways to actually get their needs met. So yeah, if you're feeling quite lonely, connecting with a friend on Skype or giving them a call can be really helpful. If you're feeling tired, you can maybe take a little bit of a break from your work, get a glass of water and see how you feel. You might just need a hug from someone rather than maybe that chocolate, you know, that bar of chocolate or those crisps. Also, maybe if you're feeling a bit angry or frustrated, it might just be a sign that you need some time out to get some fresh air and maybe do some meditation. So I know that a lot of people do struggle with emotional eating. So and that's sometimes where the sort of using food as a reward can become a bit blurred. But yeah, as with everything in moderation is fine. But yeah, sometimes just identifying, you know, why you're eating can be really helpful.
Yeah, and I think now more than ever that we are in one place and pretty restricted in our area that we can go to, I think it's probably a good time to be more attuned with ourselves and understand the reasons as to why you are doing what you're doing. Do you recommend making a food diary then, or a log?
I think it's good to keep, a bit of a food journal is quite good to identify times of the day whenever you are feeling hungry, or, you know, maybe you're leaving your lunch break until too late in the day and you're already really starting to dip and your concentration isn't as good as it was, and, you know, you're getting increasingly frustrated because actually you're not able to get the right words for that blog post or whatever it is. So actually identifying those times of the day whenever you really need to eat can be really helpful, or whenever you're just dipping in energy, that could be, as I said, a sign of you feeling quite thirsty or you just need a bit of fresh air. I think it's a really great time to tune in with your body, because our body gives us so much information. Sort of checking in when you're feeling hungry and also when you're feeling full as well. Because, often people just sort of eat what's on the plate, don't they, rather than actually checking in with, actually, I'm really satisfied now and, I've had enough. So
And then I think it's good that the government have said that you can go out and do one piece of exercise a day, because again, I think you could get quite trapped in this, I'm just going to eat and then sit and then not really get your movement in. So I'm going to start, I can't run, but I'm going to start running. Dom's been setting me distance challenges to do from work. So
yeah, I think it's so important to get out and get some movement and get some fresh air. And whatever that is, you know, you could just do a bit of skipping in your back garden, or you could, go to the park for a run or a walk or even a cycle. I think it is really important that we are getting out and about as much as we can for that sort of to the shops or to the that exercise, that daily exercise. I think it's so important.
And I'm going to make sure I get my 20 minutes of sunlight before midday to help me sleep better. I'm going to tell my mum that because my mum's been struggling sleeping, so she's going to benefit from that tip very much.
Yeah, we're so lucky that actually the sun is starting to come out at the moment. You know, even though that we are sort of more confined to our houses, if we've got any outdoor space and taking that sort of that daily exercise time to get some exposure, I think it's
Okay, so that's the question time over. You now you're gonna help me. You're gonna help me do a bit of cooking, aren't you?
Yes.
A little secret is that my mum used to be a home economics food tech teacher. So in the words of can't cook, won't cook, I'm won't cook because my mum used to do such amazing food. So this is going to be a nice challenge for you.
Okay. So you've cut up all your veg. So can I see the size of your pan? Okay, that's a good size.
Oh, good. Okay.
Excellent. Okay, so have you beaten your eggs?
No, I haven't yet. Shall I do that now?
Yeah.
Okay. How many eggs did you say?
I would say all six.
Six eggs. Okay. Do I put anything with them or do I just put them as just eggs?
Just crack the eggs and just add a little bit of salt and pepper. Okay, so today we're going to make a mixed vegetable and feta cheese frittata, for your lunch.
Yes, I'm excited.
And there'll be plenty left over so you can have some for your dinner or tomorrow's lunch or breakfast tomorrow.
Oh, amazing.
So what we're putting into the frittata is we're putting some red onion, some peppers and some courgette and some thinly sliced broccoli as well, and a little bit of feta cheese and of course the eggs. So do you have a little bit of coconut oil or butter?
I've got olive oil spray.
That's fine.
What goes in first? Is it the veggies?
Yes. So just put the red onion in, the peppers and courgette and broccoli. Just cook them all up for about 5 minutes or so. So just until they're cooked and a bit soft.
I don't think I'm going to be getting my own cooking show after this. Popping in my veg into the pan.
So what do you usually have for lunch then?
I have salads or I've got a soup maker, so sometimes I make soup. And then I've been trying to be better at taking my own lunches into the office rather than buying, because one, it's very expensive, and two, you just don't really know what you're putting into your body either. So I'm trying. I enjoyed my soups. I've got a great soup maker, but I'm going to use that to make smoothies for now while I'm at home. I was just going to ask you actually about smoothies, because my mum has done quite a lot of dieting and slimming world, and they've told her to stay away from smoothies because it releases more sugar from the fruit. Is that true, or is that just...
Well, it does change the structure of the fruit, and I guess if you are having a pure fruit smoothie, you are, it is going to, impact your blood sugar levels, but I only ever add sort of one piece of fruit to my smoothie, so that might be like half a banana with some protein powder and some kale and an avocado or something like that. So just sort of adding one piece of fruit and then just sort of bulking up with other vegetables, sort of your leafy greens is a great way to sort of, and then your almond milk or your oat milk.
Oh, great. I'm going to try that then, because I've got in the fridge at the moment, I've got a load of different types of berries. I've got some mango, but then I've got avocado as well, so I'll try that.
Yeah, that gives it a really nice sort of creamy thing.
And then I've got spinach as well, so I can pop that in there.
Yeah, so the rule of thumb, I would say, yeah, just use one piece of fruit per smoothie and just bulk it up with as many veg as possible as well. That fruit will be sweet enough for the smoothie. Yeah, so you're getting, you know, that's four veg you've got there, isn't it?
Yeah.
That dish. So that's just a great way to increase your vegetable intake during the day.
Okay, I think we're getting to be quite soft now.
Okay, so did you get some paprika?
Yes, I have. I've got smoked paprika.
Yeah, excellent. So that's just going to give it a little bit more of a smoky flavour. Yeah, so just put a teaspoon of that in and mix it in with the veg. Yeah, you think you're ready to go to add the eggs?
Yep, I'm ready to add the eggs.
Okay, so whenever you add the eggs, just stir it all quite quickly so it all sort of mixes together in the pan.
Right, we're going in.
Okay, super. Mix the veg quickly.
I need to turn the grill on, don't I?
Yeah. And do you have your feta? We'll probably cook that for, about 4 or 5 minutes.
And then with the feta, do I just put that over the top now?
Yeah, just put it in sort of lumps, yeah.
This is funny. I can't believe, if we just said about a month ago that this is what we'd be doing.
That's good fun.
It is great fun. There we go. Right, shall I stick the grill on?
Yeah, we'll probably just leave that for another 1 to 2 minutes, I think. Until it's really starting to set at the bottom.
What are you going to eat today?
I've got some soup, so I'll probably have some of that whenever I go home because I'm still doing some work from the hub. I'm still doing online sessions with clients from the hub, so I'm just going from home to the hub because my partner, Dan, he's working at home, so it can be a little bit crowded. I'm sure everybody's experiencing that right now. So, yeah, I've got an apple and some nuts with me at the moment for my snack, some almonds, so... And then, yeah, I'll go home just after lunchtime, yeah, later today and, get some soup. We got loads of vegetables yesterday when we went shopping. So definitely there was no tins of anything, but there's lots of fresh sort of fruit and veg at the moment, so which is great.
And seeing as shopping is the only thing that you can do, it's probably a good thing to get as much fresh stuff and then you can just pop out for your essentials if and when you need it.
How's that looking now? Does it look like it's setting quite a bit at the bottom?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's just stick it under the grill.
We should have done here's one I made earlier. That's how they do it. How they do it on the TV.
We'll put that in for about 2 minutes and then you can just test it with your finger to see whether it's setting.
Okay, I might move it up a bit. That's one thing.
Yeah, I just think, frittatas are just great. They're just so versatile. You can stick anything you've got into them and then they can do you for your breakfast, your lunch, a snack, whatever. Just you can have them with a really nice salad for lunch, some rocket salad and lots of different sort of grated veg on there as well.
In terms of salad dressings, how can you make a really easy but healthy one?
So I think just using sort of olive oil, garlic and lemon and salt and pepper can just be a really great one, or you could add a little bit of mustard and a little tiny bit of honey as well to make a mustard honey dressing. You definitely don't need to buy shop bought ones. I really like making sort of like a dressing out of sesame seeds and chilies and garlic and things like that if I want a little bit of more of an Asian flavour.
I feel like there's a book coming out now,
But the thing is, every time we sort of we eat and drink, we do have an opportunity to improve our health. So, since studying nutrition, I've really changed my sort of the way I look at food quite a bit. I look at, is this going to make me feel a lot better? Is this going to make me feel rubbish?
No, I think, and that's one thing that's, it fascinates me, the way that it all works. So. Okay, so that is now under the grill. We'll leave that to cook and then I'll post pictures on my story when it's done and my very happy face after I've eaten it. Could you just help me by running over the ingredients again, please?
Yeah, so the mixed vegetable and feta cheese frittata had 6 eggs. We used 6 eggs, didn't we? half a red pepper, a quarter courgette thinly sliced, three broccoli florets thinly sliced, and half a red onion thinly sliced. And that's just to make sure that everything cooks quite quickly, because we don't want you, if you're cooking this for lunch, we don't want you to really be, you know, spending ages over it. Also, we added a teaspoon of paprika and some oil to the pan and
feta cheese.
And cubes of feta cheese. Yeah, and a little bit of salt and pepper as well.
It smells delicious. I can't wait to tell you what it tastes like. It was fairly reasonable in price as well, but I managed to get all the ingredients this week in my local Aldi. So it's stuff that you can buy now. It's not stuff that I've had in for a while. And I just want to say a massive thank you, Rebecca, because that was so useful. It's like the information you've just shared on what we should be doing, how we should be looking after ourselves, and the live cook-along, which is a first. I just want to say a huge, huge thank you for coming back on the podcast. And I know that people are going to find it incredibly valuable.
It's great that you invited me back on. I've really enjoyed it. So, and we'll be doing lots of other things with the Wildly Well tribe coming up over the next couple of weeks, so which is really exciting. So if you want to join the tribe, just search for the Wildly Well tribe and we'll get you signed up.
Give us a follow on Facebook and we will see you in the group.